The Lord be with you.
And
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus began to approach the towns where most of his mighty deeds had been done, since they had not repented. Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would long ago have repented in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And as for you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You'll go down to the nether world. For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Sodom, would have remained until this day. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. The Gospel of the Lord. Of all the preaching themes in the New Testament as well as the Old, the word in Greek is metanoia. If we go to Mark chapter 1, verse 15, this was the first preaching of Jesus in his public ministry, and it's be converted because the kingdom of God is at hand. What was the preaching of John the Baptist? Conversion. What was the preaching of the first pope, Peter? After the coming of Pentecost, conversion. If you look to the church, the way the church lives out its church year and the liturgy, the theme of conversion is constant. After I greeted you this morning in the Mass, I did greet you, what did we do? I invited you all to conversion. And maybe you felt comfortable by my long silence. Get used to it. Because I give all of us a long time to enter into our hearts to see what is not pleasing to God and to beg God for mercy and to beg God for conversion. Did you ever see a priest wearing a purple stole, you ever see that? That color is a color of conversion. Every Friday, we're called to do penance. Why? For conversion. Our conversion, conversion of our family, the conversion of the whole world. This morning I was listening to Patrick Madrid and he was making this comment, you know, instead of hating President Trump so much, why don't you spend 10% of the time you hate for him praying for him? That's a great idea. I'm not going to battle with politics with any of you here. Whether you like the guy or not, for the love of God, pray for him. That was a great insight. All that time spent in hating an individual, well, if you hate him, pray that he'll be converted. Great idea. Now, for lack of time, I'll give you three stories in the lives of the saints, how they arrived at conversion. And the Holy Spirit can use any means possible to convert a soul. First, I was listening to Archbishop Cardinal O'Malley this morning. They had a one-minute little blurb on him at about 7:15, and he was talking about the conversion of St. Francis. Now, the conversion of St. Francis, it was not like Saul of Tarsus. It was gradual. It didn't come about just like that. But a key element in the conversion of St. Francis is his encounter with the leper. How many of you people, if you saw a homeless person in the street filled with fleas, Spanish piojos, now filled with fleas, no? And dirty, would change your clothes and wear his clothes? Hello? I don't think any of you would do that. Or take him to Macy's or Nordstrom and buy him a new set of clothes. Hello? I don't think you'll do that. Get in the back seat of my car, I'll take you to Macy's, and you choose whatever garment you want, as long as it's modest. And if you're going to take me up on that, I doubt it. How many people, when you invite people to sit down at your table, you invite the scum of society, the dregs of society? I don't think you've ever done that. Isn't that biblical? None of you remember that passage, do you? Huh? When you invite someone, don't invite the rich and the luxurious, because they can pay you back. But invite those who are marginalized, the sick, the poor, the ugly, the smelly. Invite them. So St. Francis, when he saw the leper, he was repelled at the repugnant sight of this leper. Then his conscience got the best of him. And he went and he exchanged clothes with the leper. Don't forget, St. Francis, before he was converted, his father would have been the CEO of Nordstrom or Macy's. His father owned a store that sold elegant clothes. That's why Francis liked to dress really elegantly, like St. Ignatius also. But that was the key moment of the conversion of Francis. He had to be converted to his attachment to elegant dressing. That was one of his disordered attachments. What about you? What are you attached to? Oh, nothing, Father. I've done the exercise with you. I understand holy indifference perfectly. I've been living that ever since I did the exercise with you. Fat chance. I doubt it. Takes a long time. So there's one conversion story. Okay, the second conversion story is in the life of Saint Augustine. Once again, his conversion, full conversion, took more than 30 years. But there are key moments in the conversion of Augustine. All of you who have read the Confessions of St. Augustine, maybe you've read it a couple times, no? In English, Latin, and maybe Tagalog, you've read it. Yeah? Know that the conversion came through the prayers of St. Monica. Her prayers, her tears, her sacrifices, her sufferings. But also through the example of a very holy priest, bishop, his name was St. Ambrose. St. Augustine was an intellectual, so was St. Ambrose. So Augustine was surrounded by a lot of intellectuals called the Manichaeans, but they didn't seem to have any charity. Whereas Ambrose was a keen intellect, but he loved the poor, and he loved his flock, and he loved God. And Augustine did not have a good father image. His father was a drunk. He was a womanizer. He was angry. He never had a father image. So St. Ambrose filled in the father image that he never had. Very important point for our fatherless society. And then, of course, the conversion came. He heard the voice of the little child, which was an angel. Take and read. He goes into the garden, opens up the Bible, falls upon Romans 13:13. Do not give in to the flesh, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Conversion. I don't know about you people, but I'm fascinated by conversion stories. Fascinated. Probably the most famous convert in England is a man, his name is John Henry Newman. Have you ever heard of him? Yes. Cardinal John Henry Newman is probably the most convert in England. He was part of what was called the Oxford movement of intellectuals in the 19th century. So the confessions of Augustine, I studied this when I studied the literature many years ago, is Apologia Pro Vita. That would be the Confessions of Newman. And what if you read Apologia Pro Vita, which is the story of the conversion of Newman, he points out by studying church history, you'll be led into the church. That's his comment. You study the foundation of the Church of England, Anglican Church, you're going to recognize it was a man-made religion based on lust of a man that wanted more than one wife. And that Newman was aware that was a lie. That's not the way to build a church, on lust and adultery. So there's another conversion story. Through study, through your intellect, through studying church history. The last conversion story would be this, Lady Fatima. The children of Fatima, they were good kids. They were good kids. But they did not arrive at a profound conversion until 3 days ago, I think it was July 13th, in which Our Lady manifested a vision of hell. Once they saw the vision of hell, they were radically converted and became, I believe, among the greatest modern saints in the Catholic Church and among the youngest. I love the life of Jacinta Marto and Francisco also, but I really like Jacinta. She's willing to suffer so much, offer up so many sacrifices for the conversion of poor sinners. Now, Lady said after, in some of the subsequent apparitions to Lucia, she said, if people would think about eternity, they would be converted right away. Now, eternity means this, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. How could anyone in his right mind not be converted if he were meditated upon eternity, heaven or hell forever and ever and ever? So I've told you, I've given you a summary of basically four conversion stories. The conversion of Francis, the conversion of Newman, the conversion of Jacinta, the conversion of Francisco. conversion. And now all of you look pretty comfortable this morning. You look pretty, you want to kind of pat yourself on the back and say, well, I'm already converted, Father. This does not apply to me. I'm not one of those big whale of a conversion that has to come about. Don't pat yourself on the back. Because there is what is called a radical conversion, and there is a daily conversion. So we have to work on our conversion all the days of our life. Saint Francis de Sales. Saint Francis de Sales says this: selfishness in the human person dies 15 minutes after you're dead. I like that. I'll repeat, this is Francis de Sales, one of the doctors of the church, says selfishness dies 15 minutes after you're buried. What he's saying, using what's called literary flair, called hyperbole, that's what it is, he's saying that we have to undergo a conversion every day of our life until we die. So let's turn to Mary, who teaches the key to conversion is prayer and sacrifice. Let's ask Mary that starting today, that we would work on our own daily conversion. Amen.